Let me just tell you just a little bit about myself. As you heard, I belong to His Hands Ministry. I've been there, I guess, about 10 years. I grew up in the city of Atlantic City, New Jersey. I grew up in poverty, and I'm a living witness as to what the power of God can do. Amen. I'm telling you, I came from nowhere. My mom was 16 when I was born. She never married my dad, and I just lived in poverty. But you know what is interesting? Because even though I lived in poverty, I was pretty happy. I guess I'm happy that ignorance is bliss. But I'm telling you something. But God delivered me from so much. I got such a testimony. I don't want to just, I could go on and on. Where can I start? Man. This is my lovely wife. We've been married going on 3 years. Praise God. Amen. Yes, we're newlyweds still. However, she's my second wife. My first wife, whom I met in high school, we married, raised 4 children. We were married for 38 years before she went on to be with Jesus. Amen. But let me tell you something. And during that process, my oldest son passed. But you know what? The joy of the Lord is still my strength. Yeah. Huh? You know, He has restored my joy. I tell you, I have some more zeal for life than ever before because of the goodness of God and what He's done for me. Amen. Amen. He's brought me from a long ways. After high school, I went to Marine Corps for 4 years. And it got me out of the city and out of poverty. And I began to see. I came back home one time. I said, oh, my God, this is where I grew up at. Said, Jesus, have mercy on me. So it got me out of there. So praise God. A couple years later, I went to college. Just before I graduated, 2-year degree, I took the state police test. I went to state police, and I became a trooper for 28 years. I retired about 11 years ago. God, I'm telling you something. God is so good to me. And the same wife I started out with is the same one I came out of there with. Because policemen, unfortunately, have a bad reputation of being womenizers and whoremongers. But not me. I was married for 38 years, and my marriage bed was undefiled until the day my wife took her last breath. Because of the power of God. That's one of the things that makes me excited. So God has been so good to me. I have a message for you, and it's incredible how the words I've heard, the songs is just... We heard so much about fighting today. Let me tell you something. The message I have is on fighting. Amen. It's on fighting. And I got so many confirmations. Just to say, let me tell you how good God is to me. Oh, man, Jesus. This is my book. Just came out a few months ago. God gave this to me. It's a book on poetry. There's 100 poems in here that God gave me. And I never wrote poetry in my life until some years ago. When I was working as a security, I received a dream from God, and I didn't understand the dream until a few weeks later when I began to write poetry. And it's amazing. It got to the point where I would write 5 or 6 poems a day. And the amazing thing is that I would share them with my wife at the time, and she would call me and cry because she was telling me, she says, you don't know what these poems are doing for me. And that's when I discovered that God had given me that anointing to minister to her. So about 90% of the poems that I wrote were written to minister to her. And you know, the interesting thing is this. They stayed on my computer for almost 10 years. And then my current wife began, I showed them to her and she read them. And you know what she said? Even though these poems were written to my former wife, she said, there's an anointing on these. You need to publish this thing. So that's why I published it. It was through her encouragement. Yeah. Amen? What a wonderful wife. So, you know, I'm going to tell you something. I know you were looking for this, but I want to give this to you. Let me just read these are pretty much short poems. Let me read the first poem in the book. It's about fight. I'm sitting here saying, this is crazy. Listen to this. Before the blessings, the storm clouds grew. An attack was coming against me and you. Day by day, it refused to relent. Hell was invading with terrible intent. Bold and brazen, it was not subtle. The sole purpose was to bring us trouble. Try as it might, it could not succeed. When we prayed together, we agreed. Our faith combined brought the power from God above like a welcome shower. Moment by moment, we grew stronger. No matter the fury, we lasted longer. Whatever the storm, it could not prevail. Our God is faithful. We could not fail. The blessing has come, and now we see why hell had fought so relentlessly. Enduring peace and love abound, kept in Jesus safe and sound. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Fight. This is my gift to you guys.
Thank you so much.
I got a few more here if anybody's interested in reading poetry. I know everybody doesn't read poetry. But praise God. That's just one of the things that God has blessed me with. Okay. Now, let's get started here. You're talking about fighting. Let me tell you something. I'm a fighter, and I used to fight the wrong things for a long time. When I got filled with the Holy Ghost, I got a big head, and I started fighting with Christians. Oh, my God. Have mercy on me, Jesus. You know how the scripture says, you have to have love. If it's not coupled with love, you're just a tinkling brass. And I used to fight with Christians, but God had great mercy on me. Amen. So, but anyway, one of the things that he did, I guess the thing that really turned my life around was I pretty much grew up in a denominational church. I won't say which denomination because I don't like to offend people. But they didn't believe in the power of God. And after some years, I left there, and I became a part of a church where I got filled with the Holy Ghost. And let me tell you something. When I got filled with the Holy Ghost, that changed my life forever. Mm-hmm. Forever. I never imagined going to the denominational church I went through that the power of God still existed for today, let alone me get a hold of it, get a miracle. But let me tell you something. I got filled with the Holy Ghost. In fact, it was really wild how it happened, because my former wife went to church. She was just following behind me. She didn't know what was going on. And I wanted to go to church to get baptized in the Holy Ghost. Well, after the man preached, he said, anybody want to get filled with the Holy Ghost? I said, sure, let me come in. So she goes with me, and we go in the back, and we're holding hands, and we're praying, and somebody's saying this and somebody's saying that. Now, my wife just happened to follow me at that time, but she starts speaking in tongues before me. I look at her, and I said, oh, God. And then the devil starts speaking to me because I had my off-duty gun on my ankle. And he kept saying, you ain't getting it because you got that gun on. So it was like back and forth. But, man, I got my breakthrough, and I began speaking in tongues. I'm telling you, I have never been the same ever since.
Amen.
You know, I know for a fact, it's something about the power of God. When you experience the power of God, your life should be totally changed. Yeah. This thing is real.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen?
Oh, Jesus. So anyway, I'm going to talk to you today about speaking in tongues. I call it fighting words. Speaking in tongues is not just something passive that you do. Amen?
Yeah.
It's a spiritual exercise that bypasses your mind. But I'm going to show you something here as we get down a little bit, how it's amazing what God has shown me in the scriptures. But anyway, 1 Corinthians 14:2 says this, he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God, for no man understands him. Howbeit in the spirit he speaks mysteries. Now let me tell you something. Mysteries in the Bible, let me tell you something. Let me give you a big mystery in the Bible. For most of the Old Testament, the devil was a mystery. Out of 4,000 years, I think he was only mentioned 26 times. So he was hiding. But you know what? Jesus exposed that mystery. And it's been against him ever since. His downfall came when that mystery was exposed. So the scripture says when we speak in tongues, we are speaking mysteries. And I'm going to tell you something. A mystery that we speak is an enemy of the devil. He doesn't want us speaking mysteries because he had the advantage over us for so long. We didn't know what he was doing, and we couldn't see him. And it looks like he has the advantage over us today because we can't see him. Hello? But he is just as vile and vicious as he was ever before. He's doing his thing, and we can't see him. And it looks like he has an advantage over us. But let me tell you something. That is not the case. God has given us the advantage. He's given us the ability to speak in tongues. Hello? So by speaking in tongues, you can pray God's prayer to deal with what the enemy has planned against you, even though you don't know what he has coming against you.
Amen.
You have a vicious enemy, and guess what? He will destroy you if you will allow him, but God has given us something to come against him with. We have the advantage. We don't have to know what's going on. All we have to do is what God has told us to do. Amen? So let me get, I'm going to try to zip through this because I have a lot of information here. I don't even know if I'll be able to get to the end of it. Okay? Are you guys still with me?
Yes.
Okay? Like I said, I get excited. But you know what? Praise God. I get excited. That's good. I don't want to stand up here and be some whole humdrum guy saying, you know, let me add them. Okay? Let it rip. Okay. Now, 1 Corinthians 14:15. What is it then? Paul said, I will pray with the spirit and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit and I will sing with the understanding. You folks know you can sing with the spirit, right?
Yeah.
Amen. Let me tell you something. What a wonderful thing. I've been doing it for years and I didn't really realize that at different times it was a prophetic message until I think John Price was one of the first people started interpreting. I said, what? I just thought I was having fun. I mean, I was worshiping God. This is wow. Amen. Okay. So now, you know, I'm telling you the battle that you're in, because we've been talking about fighting, right? We're in a battle. Whether you want to be or not, you're in a battle. Okay? Now, Jude tells us this, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, you keep yourself in the love of God. Now, it's no secret that God loves you. But did you know you have a responsibility to keep yourself in that love? And he says, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. There's something about praying in tongues and building yourself up in faith that can help you stay in the love of God. You know why? Because, see, all faith is not saving faith. Did you know that? You want me to give you a scriptural example? Remember the Syrophoenician woman, that one whose daughter had a demon? And Jesus said what he said. I'm for the sake of time, I won't get into all the details. And the child got delivered. They were not covenant people with God. They were not born again. It did not belong to them. They had the faith for deliverance, but it wasn't saving faith. And then there was the other, the Roman centurion, whose servant was healed. He was not a covenant child of God, but yet he had enough faith to get that person healed. But it didn't get him saved. There are all kinds, you see, you can have, the scripture says you can have so many kinds of power gifts and whatnot, but you know what? Without love, it doesn't mean anything. Yeah. See, there's all kinds of things you can have, but what you need more than anything is saving faith. Amen? The scriptures call it in Jude your most holy faith. Let me tell you what I believe holy faith is. Simple. Holy faith is the ability to live holy. Hello. Hello? Because we don't see heaven. It's by faith that we believe we're going to be with Jesus. So in the meantime, there's a way that God has called us to live. Holy faith will not only get you saved, it'll keep you saved. Am I making sense? Okay. So then why is it then that most of us are baptized in the Holy Ghost, but why is it that most Christians that I run into don't pray in tongues much, or many of them don't even pray at all? They just got filled one time and they think, well, that's the end. I got filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm good. Why is that? You know, because the truth of the matter is, so many times, praying in tongues is like, really? It can be boring. You know why? Because it's got nothing to do with your mind. You hear me? It's got absolutely nothing to do with your brain. It's from your spirit. It bypasses your brain. However, if you begin to understand what it does, it will change your attitude towards it. Amen? And thank God it bypasses our brains. Praise God. Amen. The scripture says that we're called to build up ourselves on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Let me give you an example. One time when I was a trooper, and I used to like especially working the evening shift, because the evening shift, it got dark early, and I was riding by myself, and I could get my prayer time in when I was driving. So I'm driving the troop car, praying in tongues. Up and down the road. And I did, listen, most of my prayer time I got praying and while I'm driving. So that particular night, it's way down the end of the parkway. There's a little substation we have there. So I said, it must be about maybe 4 o'clock in the morning or so. And I'll say, let me go in here and grab a little nap. So I put the chairs together, just like 4 chairs together. And I lay back on it, and I began to go drift off to sleep. And just as I was drifting off, I saw this gray cloud coming down on me. And I just said, get off of me. And it went back up. But then it started coming back down again. I said, in Jesus' name, get off of me. And it went up. And I heard what I thought was a bird caught in the blinds or something. And I got up and looked, but there was nothing there. But here's my point. This is what happened. See, they had a TV there, and they played a lot of filth on that TV. Hello? A lot of, you know, bad stuff. And that opened the door for those spirits to be in that place. Now, when I went to sleep, the devil thought he was going to get a hold of me. But you know what? Just because I was sleeping, my spirit wasn't sleeping. And not only was it not sleeping, it was strong. It was built up. So when the enemy came to get a hold of me, guess what? I was prepared. Amen? So let me give you another example. Same place again, sometime later. Let's take another nap. About 4 o'clock in the morning, I tell you something, you need a nap, man. Jesus, help me. So I hear a knock on the door. It's a young woman. So I open the door, let her can help you. She says, I was looking for Mike. I said, Mike who? Yeah, I wanted to thank him. I said, there's no Mike on my squad. Let me tell you something. She wasn't looking for Mike. She was looking for an available man. But I had already prayed. My spirit was built up, and my flesh was put under. And I kindly sent her on her way. Is that where we live? Huh? See, part of my career, probably about 20 years out of my career, I worked in the casinos as a detective there because the state police investigate all the crimes there. And let me tell you something. That place is a hellhole. You hear me? They got drugs and loose women all over the place. But you know what? God took me through hell with shining colors. Amen. You know what I'm saying? When I came out, there was no smoke on me.
Amen.
Hello? Because I pray in tongues. Amen? So now, you see, here's my point. So many times, praying in tongues can appear to be boring, but if you knew what was really going on in the spirit realm, I guarantee you would change your attitude. Amen? Now, one reason why I'm consistent at praying in tongues is because I made a commitment. I really made a vow to God a long time ago. Don't be making vows unless you know what you're doing. Because God will hold you to it. You know what I'm saying? But I didn't know what I was doing, but I made a vow. But he granted me the grace to keep it. And what has happened as a result of it is amazing. So what I want to show you is just some of the things that can happen if you're consistent at praying in the spirit. Now, here's an easy way. If you want to know how to pray in the spirit consistently, do this. Anything you do for 21 days straight becomes a habit, good or bad. You smoke a cigarette 21 days, you got a habit. But what if you spend 5 minutes for 21 days straight praying in tongues? What happens? You got a habit. And it can be a life-saving habit. Amen? So, now check this out. I've been such a proponent of speaking in tongues and the baptism in the Holy Ghost that I study the scriptures and read them all the time. And I believe God has shown me something from the Old Testament that will absolutely knock my socks off about praying in tongues. Can you possibly believe there is something in the Old Testament about praying in tongues? Well, you know the Old Testament is filled with types and examples. Amen? We know that the Lamb that was represented in the Old Testament was really Jesus. We know that water in the Old Testament represents water, baptism, the Holy Spirit. So it's full of symbols. But you know, if God can show us all those symbols, is it possible that he could show us something from the Old Testament about speaking in tongues? When I saw it, I said, can this be? Well, I believe it is. You want to go along with me?
Yep.
Well, we're talking about fighting again, right? David and Goliath. 1 Samuel 17, 1 through 7. I'm not going to read the whole story. I'm going to assume that most of you are kind of familiar with David and Goliath, right? Huh? That's the typical fight. Let me tell you, this is in David and Goliath. Let me tell you about the confirmation I got that I should talk about this morning. My wife's cousin, she was over in Israel with her husband. And she's not spirit-filled or anything. And while she was there, she got us some gifts. And she sent one back for me. You'll never imagine what she sent. This is a rock from the Valley of Elah where David slew Goliath. It just came in the mail yesterday. Do you think I'm talking about the right thing this morning? Huh? This came from the very, if possible, it could be one of the rocks that he picked up in the river. You can't have it either. I'm keeping this baby. Yeah, put that away. <I can't. laughs> Wow. Oh, my. Thank you, Jesus. I believe God has given us a wonderful example of the effects of praying in tongues if we'll just look at David and Goliath. Goliath had six fingers, am I correct? Six fingers and six toes. Six is the number of flesh, completion of flesh. It represents what the best man can be, what the best flesh can be. He had six toes and six fingers. The army of God was fully equipped on the other side of the valley. They had the armor and everything else. But you know what it makes me, I see it as the church today. They have everything they need, but they're sitting and waiting because nobody knows how to fight. Goliath had them stymied. In fact, Goliath represents the flesh. You see where I'm going? Six fingers and six toes. He represents the flesh. And no man was willing to stand up against the flesh. Very interesting, isn't it? However, David shows up on the scene. David has the anointing because he was already anointed by Samuel, right? He goes down to the brook with a sling. He reaches into the brook, Kidron, symbol of the Holy Ghost. He reaches into the water. He bends down on his knees, possibly. And he reaches into the water, and he pulls up a wet stone. Not just one stone, but five. And I say they're wet with the anointing from the water of the river. Smooth stones. He picks them up, and he puts them in a sling. And then he does something strange. But because he's anointed of God, he prophesied to Goliath. He said, I'm going to cut your head off this day. And he didn't even have a sword. I would say that that's somebody that's Holy Ghost filled, wouldn't you? Huh? It takes a lot of nerve to do that. You need something behind you. You need the power of God behind you. He took that stone. See, that stone represents, the stones represent truth, boundaries, and markers. And what happened was Goliath had overstepped his boundary. So he came with the anointed word to put stop him in his tracks. So you'll go no further. Am I making sense to you?
Yes.
Oh, my, my, my. So with that stone, what we have here, he took that stone with the anointing on it. See, it wasn't, you know, even though a sling can hurl one of those stones at such a velocity as like a 38, if you shoot a 38. However, this stone had more than that velocity on it. It had the anointing on it. It didn't just hit his head and bounce off of his head. It sunk into his head. Amen? That truth, that stone which represents judgment, judged the flesh. They judged the flesh and cut its head off. And guess what I'm telling you? We all have a Goliath to fight. He's called the flesh. And you will not overcome the flesh without the anointing. You must have the anointing to overcome Goliath. And guess what? Goliath had a brother. Did you know that? He had to be killed. And his brother, I think it was him or his brother, had four sons who were giants. They had to be killed. So let me tell you something. Just because you put your flesh down today does not mean it will not rise up tomorrow. But each time it rises up, you have to overcome it with the anointing of God. And just as David reached into the river, to the anointing, and came up with the answer, you have to reach into the river, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, to come up with the answer that you need. Sometimes I used to read and say, where are God's mighty men? I used to read about them in the Old Testament. You know what? God's waiting for his, we're his mighty men.
That's right.
And we have giants to slay. I could go and tell you about the different giants. I had a big giant. I had a lot of giants. I had the giant of lust that I had to slay. It don't happen without the anointing. I had the giant of racial prejudice. Had to slay that. Can you believe that? Nice guy like me. but see, let me tell you why I had to slay that giant. Because if the enemy had his way, I would be in some... I don't want to offend nobody. I wouldn't be where I am today. And this is where God has called me to be. I couldn't be here if I was bound by racism and prejudice. But I can stand here and tell you, guess what? I slew that giant. Amen. And guess what? We in this hour, we all got to slay that giant.
Yeah. Yes.
Because the media is crazy. Yeah. Everybody's playing the race card. It ain't just black people playing the race card no more. The politicians have learned how to do it, and now white people accusing white people of racism. It's only supposed to be black people accusing white people. am I right? And now white people accusing white people of it because the enemy is playing with that thing. And our eyes should be open. We should recognize that enemy, that animal, that what he is doing is vicious, and we as Christians should know better. They want us to hate our president, and the Word of God tells us to pray for our president. Praise God. Now, I don't want to go there because that's a whole nother story. I'll say this. I thank God for that man. I hope he runs every stinking career politician out of Washington, D.C. and gets some stuff done. Yeah, amen. I'll tell you one reason why I like him, too, as a black man. Do you know what the unemployment rate is in the black community these days? It's lowest than it's ever been. About 4%? Somewhere, it's real low. So you got the media telling about he's a racist, but yet he's doing more for black folks with jobs than anybody else, than the last administration. Did you know that the unemployment rate among minorities under the last administration was like up by 18%? Did you guys know that? Nobody knew that. Oh, well, you need to do your homework. Because now it's way down to like, I think somewhere around 4% or 5%. So thank God for that man. Pray for your president, whether you like him or not. God commands you to pray for him. Okay? Okay. Now, okay. So I pretty much covered the flesh in that area because here's what happens. When you were born again, you were water baptized, weren't you? Okay, well, this is what happened. When you were water baptized, that means When your body went under, you declared your body to be dead to sin, right? But the problem is that after you were baptized and got up out of the water, guess what? It came back to life, didn't it? You had to do something with it. You had to kill it. And the only way that you can put that body back under and keep it under is by the anointing of the living God, and you stir that up when you spend time praying in tongues. When you pray in tongues, what happens is your spirit man is built up, and he takes ascendancy over your flesh. So when your flesh says, I want to do this, your spirit said, you will not do that. That's how you get victory. That's one of the things that's helped me to overcome sin so many times in my life. Am I perfect? No. Yes, my wife should tell you I'm not perfect. But I tell you one thing, I'm a praying man. But I pray. Amen? Because you can overcome that. You can overcome what the enemy has done. How long have I been going so far? Okay. Now, that was the first battle. Now, check this out. I'll give you an example of the second battle. Or a second example in the Old Testament. There's another example of speaking in tongues in the Old Testament. The scripture says in 1 Corinthians, when I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, or my spirit is edified. That word edified is the Greek word okodomio, and it means to build up, as in building an edifice or a building. That's what it means to pray in tongues, is to build up. So now, keep that in mind, and let's go to the Old Testament again, and we'll go to King Uzziah. Anybody know who that guy was? Okay. Now, King Uzziah, he had a great kingdom, but he started off, he was weak. So what he had to do to strengthen his kingdom is he had to build walls, he had to build towers and bulwarks all around the city and even out into the plains. Did you hear me? For the enemy. Now listen to this. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Amen? The righteous run in and they are safe. The watchman, his place is in the tower. So this is what Uzziah did. He built towers all around the city. And on top of those towers, this is what happens. He built, scripture says, he built engines, and through inventiveness, men were inventive geniuses. And they built all kinds of instruments, weapons of war, to fight the enemy. Instruments to hurl rocks long distances, to hurl arrows long distances against the enemy. So here's what I'm telling you. To pray in an unknown tongue is to build yourself up. So the first thing that happens when you pray in tongues is this. You begin to build a defense around yourself, a wall around yourself in the spirit. But after building for a while, guess what? You begin to build up. So now you're not just defending yourself. You get up higher and higher and higher. Down there you were defending yourself, but up here you can see further in the spirit. Yeah. Yeah. You don't have to wait for the enemy to come to the door. You can see him off in the distance. Not only do you see him in the distance, you can fight against him in the distance. You can send the truth out after him in the distance. You can pray in tongues and rise up and hear from heaven what God is saying. Amen? Let me fix that back. Do you get my point?
Yes.
So what happens is, that is a picture of stones being built up to be a tower, just like the scripture says, when we build ourselves up on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, we build ourselves up. It's a tower. Now, let me tell you what happened. Let me give you a personal example of what's happened to me. Were you with us in South Carolina?
No.
When I got that word? Okay. How can I say this? I pray in tongues all the time. like my life depends on, because I think it does. Yes, did that really? And so many wonderful things have happened to me as a result of it. So when you read here about Uzziah, and he used men on top of his tower to invent all kinds of weapons of warfare, guess what? I just received my first patent on my first invention this past summer. It's something I've been working for on and off for a while. But like I said, I pray every day. And many times I got to get frustrated because I couldn't get the answer for it. But guess what? When we were on the 13 Colonies tour, I got the call from my lawyer. Your patent finally went through. You got your patent. Listen to me. This happened. I really believe this happens because I am faithful at one thing. I pray in the Spirit. And when you know that one thing, there's a lot of things you don't have to know. All you got to know is just do that. There's no way that you can know everything you need to do. It was a struggle. I mean, a couple times they denied my application. And finally, the third time, my wife and I agreed. And it came through. I got my first patent. You want to know what it was? I ain't going to tell you. Yes, I'll tell you. I can tell you now. I can tell you. I got, because I can tell you now, because you can't steal it from me. But I invented a glove for policemen, because in the wintertime, when you have to go on a stop, you can't wear a glove, because if you have to go for your gun, you got to take your glove or you get killed by, you know, moments matter. So God gave me this invention where you don't have to take your glove off to be able to shoot your gun. And he just showed me how to cut just the tip of it off so that the tip is attached to the second finger. So all you got to do is just make a fist like this and pop your finger out, and this finger is clear, and you can go right for your gun and you can shoot without removing your glove. I'm just a kid from the ghetto, from the hood. But if God can do that for me, what can he do for you? Because I latched on to one truth. I latched on to one truth. And I stuck to it. And I stick to it. And I'm being blessed daily because of it. After my wife passed, I was, when I ever got to go over the grieving period, I said, yo, I got to get married again. I'm too young to be living alone. Yeah, that's right. I got a lot of life left in me. I ain't living this thing alone. Get out of here. I talk too much. I need somebody to talk to. So, guess what I did? I prayed it. I prayed. And I went through some things, and I prayed. Sometimes I cared about some of the crazy dates I went on and whatnot. But you know what? Where I found myself at? Because I had four kids, and you know, they are, listen. I live, my home is holy. My kids know straight up. Listen, you cannot live under my roof and be a fornicator. That don't work. Got to live right. If you want to fornicate, you're out. And I had to put my first son out because of it. But you know what? I never imagined that the day would come when I would have to live what I was preaching. You ain't married no more. Now what you going to do? All eyes are on you. Can you live according to what you preached? You betcha. Why? Because I prayed, and I prayed like my life depends on it, and it did. And you know what? I kept myself. And my wife and myself, we kept ourselves from the, by the grace of God, he kept us from the bed of fornication until we got married. Amen. But I was smart, too. I was real smart. You know what I did? We wouldn't be together in a house alone. Because I ain't stupid. I think praying the Holy Ghost made me a little smarter. But I'm telling you, these are the victories that I've gotten. I don't have to know everything. All I have to know is Jesus and his power and his Spirit, and he takes care of everything. Amen. 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 How do you overcome the flesh? Thank you, Jesus. I think I'm pretty much winded down with this. Ephesians 6:12 speaks about we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, and so forth and so on. And then it gets down to the armor of God. Amen? We're familiar with the armor of God? But you know what I found out about the armor of God? Many people stop at the sword of the Spirit, I think, and they don't pay much attention to the scriptures that follow. Where it says, and praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So the soldier of God not only has the armor of God, he has the Spirit of God, and he prays with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And when you do that, like the scripture says, having done all to stand, stand, because you have a wall around you. Amen. Praise God. Man, that's my last scripture. I kind of zipped through it anyway. But my point being is simply this. I'm a living witness of what the power of God can do. I know where God brought me from. And God has kept me and brought me to this place. Because not only because he loves me, he loves us all. But in that love, he gives us a responsibility. See, even though God is El Gabor, the battle champion, guess what? You're his children. You're called to fight too.